Yesterday was a big day at the U.S. Supreme Court, where the justices heard two closely watched cases involving LGBT rights. These the first for the court in that area since Justice Anthony Kennedy's retirement and the confirmation of Justice Brett Kavanaugh. Joining us to talk about the cases, Greg Storr, Bloomberg News Supreme Court reporter. Greg, thanks for being with us again. Appreciate it.
Sure. Always good to be on, Larry.
So you were at the court for the first half of the arguments that were made. Let's talk about this first case involving what the use of the term sex means under federal law.
Yeah, so the first cases were, two of them were about whether sexual orientation is covered under the federal job discrimination laws, and the second case was about whether gender identity is covered. And the core question is that the 1964 Civil Rights Act says you cannot discriminate, an employer cannot discriminate on the basis of sex. And the question is whether discrimination because somebody is gay, because somebody is transgender, constitutes discrimination on the basis of sex.
And what were you able to glean from the questions the justices asked yesterday?
Well, to some degree, this looks like it's going to be an ideologically divisive case. The four Democratic-appointed justices all seem very much inclined to say that the 1964 Civil Rights Act was intended to be very broad, and the language of it does cover sexual orientation and gender identity. The question is, where are they going to get the fifth vote? And of the possible candidates, the one that seems most likely after the argument, perhaps surprisingly, was Justice Neil Gorsuch, who we often think of as a very conservative justice, and he is in some ways, but he is somebody who cares a lot about the text of a statute. And over the course of the argument, Justice Gorsuch suggested that, first of all, he read the statute as probably covering sexual orientation and gender identity, but later on during the second argument, he used the phrase that there would be a massive social disruption if the court were to rule that way, and he raised questions about whether he would be willing to issue a ruling that went by the strict wording of the law.
So strict wording meaning sex applies not just to gender, but to sexual identity.
Exactly. He pointed out that in some earlier Supreme Court rulings, the Supreme Court had said, we're going to interpret this law very broadly. And, you know, he said, the way I look at it, and he did say it's a close case, but he said, the way I look at it, when you are discriminating on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity, sex is part of that. That is one factor. And that's enough under Title VII. But he also expressed concern, as did some other justices, including Chief Justice Roberts, about the judiciary stepping into this area. This is a law that was clearly passed without people thinking about. Congress was not thinking about, everybody agrees, gay people and transgender people when it passed this law. It was thinking about, first of all, racial discrimination and religious discrimination, but specifically with regard to this provision, gender identity, treating a woman less favorably than a man, excuse me, in the same situation. And so Justice Gorsuch was concerned that the judiciary was stepping into this void, and it might be better to leave it to Congress to clarify exactly what it wants to do here.
When would we expect a decision on these cases? Close to the end of the current term?
Yeah, this looks to be one of the biggest cases of the term. I would imagine it would be near the end. The term always runs through about the end of June. This is the first week of the Supreme Court's term, the first week of arguments, so maybe it won't take the entire time, but I would be surprised if we get a ruling before next spring.
And just to clarify, this really only has an effect in states that don't have their own protections in employment law for LGBTQ employees. So here in California, there already are state laws to cover this issue. This is about the states that don't have that, correct?
That's right. And that is a majority of the states. Something like 27 or 28 states do not explicitly protect gay people from discrimination on the job, which is, feels a bit like an anomaly in a world where the Supreme Court has, has said gay people have a right to get married. That applies across the country. But in a majority of the country, gay people can be fired the next day for doing exactly that.
Yeah, it's funny because, you would think that would have been the hotter button issue for the court to take on than necessarily this one. We're talking with Bloomberg News Supreme Court reporter Greg Storr joining us on Air Talk. Justice Kennedy, who retired, he sort of served that sort of swing vote on this issue of gay rights, didn't he?
He did, and he was very focused on issues of dignity, issues of equal treatment. He clearly felt very strongly that gay people should be treated the same as heterosexual people, and that underlay the rulings that he wrote, including the gay marriage ruling. He was really the court's foremost champion of gay rights. Now, in this particular case, the issue is very different. It is less a question, it's not a question of constitutional rights. It is a question of statutory interpretation, and that changes everybody's framework. The justices have to decide what those words meant when Congress pass them, what they mean now, and they don't consider those big constitutional questions that underlay the gay marriage ruling.
Well, and does that mean that the Supreme Court is less often takes up these kinds of cases that deal with interpreting a statute versus constitutional ones, where that clearly is their job to interpret the Constitution? But with federal law, are they less likely to do that?
I don't know if I would say less likely. In fact, probably the bulk of Supreme Court cases, or more of them, involve interpreting federal statutes. That's very much the meat and potatoes of the work of the federal judiciary. It just so happens that up until a few months ago, there wasn't any disagreement among federal appeals courts about what the Civil Rights Act meant. Courts had never said that it covers sexual orientation or gender identity. And it got to a point recently where there was disagreement among the federal appeals courts, and that's why the Supreme Court probably felt like it had to step in this term and decide this issue.
Greg Storr with us from Bloomberg News. He's Supreme Court reporter. Now, between these two cases yesterday, the first one, as you said, dealing with sexual identity, the second one dealing with gender issues, transgender Americans, did there seem to be any differences in how the justices came to the two issues, or would you expect that you would see similar reasoning employed in both?
I would expect there to be similar reasoning in both. It sure seemed like they would rise and fall together. And in fact, they spent much of the time during the first argument arguing about the things in the second case, and time in the second case arguing about the first case. There had been some thinking going into it that perhaps it would be easier to make the case that transgender people are covered under the civil rights laws, just because that might seem more directly to involve discrimination on the basis of sex. Just let me make it more concrete. This case involves a transgender woman who was fired from her job as a Michigan funeral home director. She had been working there as a man, told the owner that she was going to transition to be a woman, to present herself as a woman, and then was fired. So there had been some thinking that maybe it would be easier for the court to say, hey, that's clearly discrimination on the basis of sex. But there didn't seem to be any of that sort of thinking at the court. They seemed to very much think that if gay people can sue under the law, transgender people can as well, and vice versa.
Greg, you mentioned earlier that Justice Neil Gorsuch brought up the issue of, whether this would determining that sex referred to sexual identity or that protected transsexual employees, that might, go in the face of society point of view. And is that something that the justices often talk about explicitly? Obviously, whether they're considering same-sex marriage or, you know, any of these other hot-button kinds of issues, they're thinking about the potential of a ruling that is going to be deeply upsetting to some portion of the country. Do they often talk about that in oral argument?
They talk about it occasionally. In this particular case, it was a challenge to understand exactly what Justice Gorsuch was referring to. He used the phrase massive social upheaval, but didn't really spell out what he was talking about. But the way it fits into how it seems like he was thinking is that this would be a very big step for the Supreme Court to take, and there would be a lot of unanswered questions. Chief Justice Roberts raised the issue of how the court would deal with whether there would be an exemption for religious organizations. That's the kind of issue that you might expect Congress to work through, and perhaps to be better equipped to work through the pros and cons of exempting religious organizations in particular circumstances. Whereas the court, if it did say that the Civil Rights Act covers gay and transgender people, might have to do it a little more bluntly and just say that they are covered and not deal with that religious exemption issue. So it's really a question for some justices about what they think their proper role is. Is this something we should do, or should we leave it to Congress to figure this out?
Greg Storr of Bloomberg with us. Hey, Greg, before you go, I want to hit you with something totally out of left field and different. I just, you know, looking at this impasse between the House of Representatives and President Trump over showing up for subpoenas or being deposed by House staff members, is this something that would seem could well be headed to the Supreme Court to determine whether White House officials would be compelled to testify?
It's funny you should ask that. I've just been thinking about that this morning. It certainly seems like that's a possibility. This is an area that the courts usually like to stay out of. They really prefer that the executive branch and the legislative branch work these issues out. But at this point, it seems like those two branches are at an impasse where the White House is saying, we're just not going to cooperate at all. We're not going to turn anything over. And if that's the case, the courts would be forced to decide. And then a question will be, how quickly can the courts move? Would they be willing to move quickly enough to meet the kind of timetable that the House Democrats are hoping for to get this issue resolved and get impeachment articles potentially voted on?
Greg, thanks so much. Appreciate your joining us. Always a pleasure. Supreme Court reporter for Bloomberg News, Greg Storr, with us on Air Talk. Coming up very shortly, it's the triple play. We're going to reconvene and talk about the big Dodger game tonight. The rest of the season rides on it. The deciding game five, the National League Division Series against the Washington Nationals, 5:30 at Dodger Stadium. We'll talk with A. Martinez, Nick Roman, me, coming right up, right after a live update from Hedy Lynn Herdes.